Okay, so we're on Daf Gimel, Skolem on the top, right? So Eluhim Sarche, right? Eluhim Sarche Harabim. So the Mishnah had mentioned that on the 15th of Adar they would fix the they would misakin the Sadrachim, they would fix the roads, and they would fix the mikvahs, and then they would do all Sarche Harabim. So what are the Sarche Harabim? So Eluhim Sarche Harabim. They would tell everybody, whoever has, you know, a case against their friend, that they should bring it now. Dini Nefashos and Dini Nefashos. They would, I guess, kill anybody who was Chayav Misa. I think the Miri points out that they would try to just wrap everything up. It's the end of the fiscal year. Let's wrap everything up now so we can start the new year fresh. So Vadan Dini Mominos, Dini Nefashos, Dini Makos, whoever was Chayav Makos, they would get their lashes now. Upodin Arachim Vacharon Vakdeshos. They would go check and to make sure that anyone who volunteered Erechin and Haramim and Hekdeshos, that they would, you know, pay up their chov. Umashkin es hasotam. I guess they would make sure that all the sotas who needed to have their stomachs exploded or not would be checked. Beserpin es hapara, and they would burn the para aduma, so they would have enough. And they only did 9, all right? There were 9 para aduma, so I'm not exactly sure what they're doing over here. The arpin egla rufa, they would take care of any egla rufas that needed to be taken care of. Urodzin Eved Ivri, and any Eved Ivri who is supposed to work for 6 years, if he doesn't want to continue working to go free, he doesn't want to go free, he wants to continue working, so, you know, he gets his ear pierced.
On the 15th?
Yes.
16th or
17th? It's interesting. I'm not sure. I thought you had to do it at the end of the year, like when the year was up, then you did it. So, like, I guess maybe not. Maybe you can just do it at this time. Umitharin as a Metzorah. And they would be Metara the Metzora, which is also interesting. Well, what happens if the Metzora got Tohar on, you know, Gimel Shvat? You have to wait to Tetzvav. I mean, I understand exactly how that...
What about people, the Sotas and everything, they waited?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't think they purposely waited, but maybe if they had been waited for, then you do it now. Like, now is the deadline. That was the drop dead date.
Are you supposed to do it right away?
I thought so.
Well, you bring it to Yishalayim when
I thought so. I'm not really sure why all these things. It seems to be that you're doing it on this date. I'm not sure why you're doing it on this date specifically.
The other one seems like they just waited for some reason.
I don't know if you're waiting purposely or if, you know, these things had been delayed or for whatever reason. Make sure by the 15th of Adar that they get taken care of, so you can finish. You just have to finish the fiscal year, right? All right. Umifarkin es hamina me agabi hamayim ve'imach yunoso. So what they used to do is they would have these little cisterns that would collect rainwater. So during the winter, it would collect all the rainwater, and they would close it up and lock it so no one can use it. But now that the summer season or the non-raining season has begun, you can unlock the locks from on these cisterns and let people use the water for the summer, right? And the aim of doing so, and you don't put the locks back on because you let people now you open the spigots. Okay. So now the Gemara is making a Mishnah Maseches Moikaton, and they're going to use that to ask in our Mishnah Taman Taninan, which I think means Tanan Hasan. Right, Taman Taninan. Over there, we have a Mishnah that says, right, this is talking about things that are permitted to be done on Chol HaMoed. One of them is Mashkin, right? You can water Beis HaShilchan, right? You can water a field that requires constant watering. That's not sufficient to put just from rainwater, because I guess that's, you know, Dover Oven, a couple things, right? The mitzayinin alakvaros, and you can put the signs right with the lime on the graves. So the Gemara asks, why are they putting the lime on the graves in Chol HaMoed? Didn't we already do that? Lo kvar tzianu me'adar. Didn't we already do that on the 15th of Adar? Our Mishnah says that's what we did in Adar already. We marked the graves. So the Gemara says lo kvar tzianu me'adar. V'tiftar means, you know, you see the patar, means they answered, right? V'tiftar, they answered, she'yorod shetav shal geshamim u'shatafo. What happened was that there was some rain came and washed it away. So, if rain came and washed it away, you're allowed to mark them again on Chol HaMoed. Okay, similar question, right? It says over there in Moed Katan, v'yotzin af al ha'kilayim. You're allowed to go out on Chol HaMoed and tear out the kilayim again. Gemara says, lo kvar yatsu me adar. Didn't they already go out and ripped him out in Adar? So Tiftar, you'll answer the question as follows: Shehaisa hashana afela. I guess it was a late year, and the shana afela was a dark year. right? And so it took a long time for the plants to actually grow. But Ein Hatzmach in the Karmen. By the 15th of Adar, it wasn't clear that they came out yet. So if that happened, and now it first comes out, and you see the Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to rip them out or deal with them on Chol HaMoed. Okay. That's exactly the point, that these things are considered either a Tzorach HaMitzvah, a Tzorach HaMoed, a Davar HaMoed. These are mutter to be done on Chol HaMoed. That's what the Mishnah is dealing with in Moed Katan. What? Tzorach HaMoed, there are five Hetayim of Chol HaMoed, so it fits into one of them. We'll deal with it when we get to Moed Katan, but that's the whole point of the Mishnah, that these things are mutter to be done on Chol HaMoed. What better than apple pipping? Right. So now the Gemara, we've mentioned that you have to mark the graves. The Gemara is going to ask, where is the source that one must mark the graves? Minayin litziyun. Where is marking the graves mentioned? I guess in the Torah. Okay. So there's a machlokes amorayim. Who says this? Rav Berechia says that Rav Yaakov Barbas Yaakov v'shem Rabbi Chunya Divras Chavrin. Rav Berechia says that Rabbi Yaakov Barbas Yaakov said in the name of Chunya Divras Chavrin, and Rabbi Yosa, which I think a hey and yud interchange, maybe it's Rabbi Yosi Amar La, Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha v'shem Rabbi Chunya Divras Chavrin, and Rabbi Chizkia is Rabbi Uziel Bered Rav Chunya Divras Chavrin v'shem Rabbi Chunya Divras Chavrin. They, whoever it is, says that the following pasuk, this is talking about by the Mitzorah. It says, right, v'hatzarua sherboha negev egedov yufrumi v'roshu yeparu v'chosfafam yaten, the pasuk says, v'tamei tamei yikra. You call him out that he's tamei. So from the double lashon of tamei tamei, we say, k'dei shetie tumo koro lecha b'fia v'omeres al approach. Right, we make simonim for the guy who's tamei, so everyone knows that he's tamei, and then they'll recognize that he's tamei, and they won't be metame. Tamei tamei yikra. Pashup Shaz, they just declare him tamei. But you say tamei yikra, you make the kfeilus halashon, the double lashon. They say that you announce, so everyone will know that he's tamei, even though he's sitting outside the town. But you announce that he's tamei. That is one source. The other source was brought down. Rav Ilah, b'shem Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman. He says it's from some different source. This source is actually from Yecheskel, which is talking about the Melchama of Gog and Magog, that Bnei Yisrael will make simanim by the bones of those who died, so that the people who are now walking will know where to walk, and they won't become tamei. Right? It says va'avru ha'ovrin be'eretz ba'aretz v'ra etzem adam. So they'll be passing in the land, and they'll see the bones of a person. Ubana etzlo tziyun, and they'll build there a sort of a monument or a sign. I cover also hamikavim olgei hamongog until the chaver kedisha comes and buries them, but they'll make a sign. So the Gemara says, now the Gemara darshens each pasuk. So it says, v'avru over etzem, right, says a bone, mikan shemitzayinim ala tzamos. Here we say that you're allowed to, you're supposed to sign even if it's just bones, even if there's no meat on it, as long as there's bones, right, but you have to go through the halachos that it's rov binyan hameis, or rov minyan, whatever, if it fits into the rules of what considered of what is mitame, so you have to be mitzayin on that as well. Then it says, Adam, says a word Adam, Mikan, Shemitzainim al Hashidra v'hagulgolas. Now you also, that these things are also Tameh, which is the Shidra, the spine, the Gulgolas, and the skull, that they are Metameh even if they don't have a certain shear, because those things are Tsuras Adam, right? They're recognizable. And these are all the Mishnais and Olos talk about this. Then the Pasuk says, Uvana, what's Vana? So Vana means a Binyan Kavua. Mikan, right, Shemitzainin al Gabe Evan Kavua. You have to put it, the symbol by a permanent structure. Because im Omer at al Gabe Evan Telusha, because if you do it on a non-attached stone, so what's going to happen? The stone's going to roll away. It's going to be marked. It's going to roll from point A to point B. And now when you get to point B, even though there's nothing there, you're going to think there's something there because it's marked. Right? Because im Omer at al Gabe Evan Telusha, so it's going to roll somewhere else, and be metame someplace else. Mistakenly, it's going to be metame another place, and you're going to be marbe, marbe tahor tuma. Because you're going to be metame taharos, even though shaloka din. Then the end of the pasuk says etzlo, right? It says ubana etzlo tzion, right? It doesn't say ubana alav tzion, but it says etzlo is lemak built next to it, not on it. So it says lemakom tahara. What you do is you put the sign and you put the sign near the place where it's tameh, because you want people to be forewarned. So if you put it on the actual tumah itself, it's too late. By the time you get there, I'm like, oh, I'm done. So you put it beforehand, therefore you get people are warned, and they know to stay away from the area around there. And then tziyun mikan litziyun. It's a tziyun. From here we know that you have to be mitzayin. You have to mark it. You have to mark it off. Okay. Now we're going to another brisa. Okay. Umatza even achas mitzuyenes. Let's say you find one stone that is marked, right? Af al pi she'ein mikayimin kain, even though. If you find, right, because you're supposed to mark off two stones, right? And so people will know that the in-between is where it's tameh. I think what he's saying here is, matza even achas mitsuyemes, right? You'll find it's one stone, avvish and mekaimin kain, even though you're not supposed to do this lechatchila, because nevertheless, hamahil alav, if you mahil over this even that's marked, you're tameh. Why? Ani omer, I say, meis mitsuyem vayen nasun tachtel. We can be choshish that there was a mace there, and it was underneath it. Now, hayu shtayim, let's say there are two marked stones, right, and there's a space between them. So mustama, they did the proper way, to tell you, to warn you on either side. So therefore, hamahil alehen, if you're mahil over the stones, your tahor, because they were marked properly, and those on top of the stones themselves do not cover any of the mace, ubeinehen tameh, but between them, is that's where the mace is. So between those stones, if you're mahil over that part, then you're tameh. But im hayachoris ben sayim, if the space between the two stones was plowed, we say that a person is not going to plow, you know, normal people aren't going to plow over a grave, so then harehen ki yichidos, then we view those stones as being individual stones, and therefore, beinehen tahor, between the two stones, you can be, if you mahil, you're tahor, because we're assuming there's no mason there, because the person's not going, because the plowing is made that there is no mace under there, but svivo seyen, but I guess underneath the stones themselves, we'll say tumah. We view these, there's markings, so there is some tumah somewhere, so we'll assume that the tumah is under these stones. Tani, right, we learn in a brisa, ein mitzayinin al habasar. Why? Because shema nis akel habasar. If the tumah that's under there is because of flesh and not because of bones, we don't mark off this place of tumah. Because when we mark off the place of tumah, then the assumption is that there's going to constantly be tumah there. Lo'olam. But if there's only meat, there's only flesh under there, so that flesh decomposes. So it's going to end up happening when it starts to decompose, it'll become less than a kezias. It can get to the point where it's less than a kezias, and there's no tumah. And if you mark it, then people are going to think there's always tumah there. And what happens is that people will be walking with the taharos and say, oh, I walked over tumah, and now they're going to burn the taharos when they really shouldn't have had to. Right? So shemba nit akel abasar, because maybe there's not going to be kezias left. Gemara says, wait a second. Okay, fine. So you're worried about, you're going to say, well, maybe what happened before it decomposes? Before it decomposes, you have to be worried that someone's going to become tummy mace. And if he's tummy mace, then he eats his truma, you have a bigger problem. That's a misa. He says, Rav Yusta Bar Shunim Be'ei Komei, he asked Rabbi Mana, Vilo Nimsa Metame Taharos, why don't we Lo Nimsa Metame Taharos Limafreya, Kol Od, that the basar does not decompose, anything that passes over is tamei. And if you don't mark it off, you won't know. So Amrolei, so he says back to him, so Rav Mana says back to Rav Yusta, Mutav she yiskalkalu bo l'sha'a v'al yiskalkalu bo l'olam. Basically, he's taking a long-term view. I'm more concerned about what's going to happen throughout the future as opposed to what's happening right now. Right now, it's only a short period of time, right? It's better for us that these things become tamei, and then that these become tamei, and not leave this here as being tamei forever, and therefore people burn taharos. So the Tostos, Rabbeinu Paris on Moed Katan asks, well, what are you talking about? I don't understand. You're taking this long-term view, but bottom line is, in the short term, you have a chi of misa coming over here, because somebody could be, it's not marked off, somebody can be tahor, and kohen walking over, and now he's going to not realize it, and he's going to eat truma, betuma. So he answers that because, you know, that's, the people will, in a short period of time, if there's meat there, people, if there's buster there, people will know. But in the long time, that people don't know. I don't know. I think it's a good question. Right? Why are you taking this? Here it seems to be much more of a serious issue now than what's going to be later. Okay, so you burn when you're not supposed to burn. You burn the house and not supposed to burn. But no one's chayav misa. If you don't mark it off and someone walks over and then eats the truma, you have a misa problem. I wonder if he brings it down in the note. Does he ask the question there?
Yeah, he basically say whatever he said. He's concerned about
the long term.
No, he's not concerned about the long term.
Huh?
So the body decomposes, once it decomposes to nothing, then you have no problems anymore.
Right, so he's worried about the long term, because if you mark it, it's going to be a problem forever.
It's not going to go away.
If you mark it, then the problem stays forever. So you're worried about having a long term issue. If you mark it, then it decomposes. Yeah. Okay. All right. So the previous Mishnah said that under Shlichei Beis go out on the 15th of Adar to check about the sados, and then they rip out the klayim. Now what?
Between the during the short period, between the burial and the decomposition, people will be aware that the flesh was buried there. Even if someone passes over, he will certainly be notified of the fact before eating the truma.
Okay.
People are, it's like a...
The double, it's iron sad.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
It is a short-term problem.
We're not worried about the short-term problem. We're worried about the long-term problem. Long-term issue is that over the time, if you mark this area, then 2 years from now, someone's going to walk over, think there's tumah there, and burn his taros.
Worse, if the markings get rubbed out,
so they're worried about that. So they're worried about that long-term issue. So that's why we don't mark it. The short-term issue is that before the time the meat decomposes, somebody who's tahor is going to cross over it. That we're not worried about. Because if we were worried about that, then we would mark it. By not marking it, that means we're taking into consideration the long-term issue. What?
No, that's not the buser.
No, ain mitzayin al buser, the Bryce said. No, right, but so the Bryce continues. Tani, ain mitzayin al buser. We're talking about, when we say mark, we're talking about bones. But when it comes to flesh, they don't mark it. Because if you mark it and then the meat decomposes, then 2 years down the line, somebody.
Oh, it's like my case, just flesh.
Yeah. Just flesh. Right. Just the flesh. That's the case of the Braisa. Okay. All right.
Well, not really.
Now the Gemara talks about what they actually did when they came to the Kalayim.
Yeah,
right. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, Barishona, originally, Hayu Okrin Umashlichen Lifnehen. Originally, what they would do is they would come to the fields, they would find the Kalayim, I guess to embarrass them. The Shluchei Basin would rip out the Kalayim and throw it in front of them, I guess sort of to embarrass them. But Misharabu Ovre Avera, but when the sinners became great, I guess, and it seems to me that they sort of did this on purpose and waited for the Shluchei Basin to come because they would benefit. They would benefit in two ways. They would benefit A, that you now weeded their fields, and B, now since the Kalayim came out, you can feed it to your animals. So they got to say, okay, yeah, we'll leave it like this. The Shlichei Beis is done; it's free, you know, and let them do it. Right? He says, "Misharabu over avera, hayu mashlichin ledrachim." So they would throw the klayim onto the roads, but they would still be weeded. So hiskinu shahayu mafkirin es kol hasada. So the kara that they made was that the Beis would just be mafkir the field. It's mafkir the field, and then there's no problem of klayim. And there's hefkin based on hefkir, and everybody can now just go and take whatever they would just take it. They would just remove the field from the owner's property. So I'm Rabbi Yehuda, right?
They would not weed it.
Just be mafkir. So I'm Rabbi Yehuda. That's correct. And this way, the owner doesn't get any benefit because the owner was benefiting from it before. So hopefully, I'm not sure whether they make the field mafkir or they just make these items, the klayim mafkir, it's not clear. I mean, I'm a Rabbi Yehuda. Tani, we learned a braisa. I'm a Rabbi Yehuda, Bereshonai Okun Mashlichim Lefdeyim. And they would read it and throw it in front of them. Vahayu Semechim Shtei Smachos. And the owners would be happy for two reasons. Acha Shayu Menachshin Sidosehem, that they had just weeded, I guess, the field. The Acha Shahayu Nenim in a klayim, because they would get hanar from the klayim, because Klei Zroim. A mutar, I guess, for the animals, and they would throw it in front of their animals to feed them. So misharabu ovre avera. So that what they would do. Hayu mashlich maladrachim. This way, people would trample on it, and you couldn't feed it to your animals. Right? Afa pikeim, but nevertheless, hayu smeichim. They still were happy. Shem enachshin shidosayim, because you're still weeding the fields. So hiskinos, they made takana. This rice is obviously just just expanding on our Mishnah. Hiskinu sheyu makirin kol hasadeh kula midin hefker based in hefker. They would makir. It says here the whole field. They would makir the field. And whoever, and I guess, yeah, they makir the field. So I guess to avoid, so people wouldn't take advantage of this situation. And they would, and I guess next year they wouldn't really wait. They would actually remove the kliyim on their own. Okay.
Did
they move the kliyim though, and they keep the animal? I'm not sure.
Well, if you made them, they didn't have to
bed. I guess they could. I guess they could.
The original owners will probably never get that field back again.
Yeah, so that's why I'm thinking maybe they just make the items hefker.
No, they say they make the field, the entire field.
They'll do more also.
Owner. And Makir Kol Sadekul.
I know. No, it says. I'm just not sure. I don't know. That's harsh. That's very harsh. Okay. Minayin shehefker beis and hefker. So now the Gemara asks, okay, fine. The beis and did. How do we know the hefker beis and hefker? How do you know that you're allowed to do that? So the Ksiv, so there's a pasuk in Ezra. The pasuk in Ezra says, "V'chol asher lo yavo shlosh shaminim katzas hasarim v'zakeim." Where does not come within 3 days, in accordance with the ruling of the sarim and the zakeim, yecheram kol ruchusho. Yes, we'll put in cheirim all his ruchush. V'hu yibadel mikahal agola, and he will be separated from the congregation of returnees. Right. So the kol based into the makir his ruchush. I guess they said yecheram kol ruchusho. They remove all his ruchush from him. Right, and they learn elsewhere from a different pasuk.
They don't say they made it after.
How do they take it away from him? How do they take it away from him?
They took it away from him.
Yecharam kol ruchusho. They're learning out that they took it away from him. Yecharam kol ruchusho means it's no longer his. Right. The Tikkun Kalatin says, "Hareisha Ezra based dino hayu biyodam lahafki kol ruchush over all the vrayim." They were able to be mafkir the ruchush of everybody who violated their words, right? That they're learning that's chayim, right? And what does he say here?
He says that's chayim.
Mm-hmm.
Is that like a sale? Do you get it back though?
Goes back to the. I don't know. What if he's first? Can he go first and grab it again? The owner.
He's the closest one.
Right? Yeah, I know. Then it kind of destroys the whole purpose. So it's basically said now, we basically said that we know that Hefker is Pater from Trumos and Maisos. Right? You learned that in the Yerushalmi and Trumos. It says, and we learn from there that Hefker, right? Hefker is not, anything that's Hefker is not Chayv and Trumos and Maisos. So the question is, does the hefker that the Beis Din does, that also potter in Trumos and Maisos? So we nayin shepatur min Maisos. How do we know, right? How do we know in a Mishnah or a Brisa that even though we say the hefker based in hefker, but what about hefker based in hefker? So the hefker is done bal korcho of the Baal HaBayis. Does that now potter the area from Maisos? The Gemara says as follows: Rabbi Yonasan b'Reid Rabbi Yitzchak bar Acha Shama La min Hada. He learned it out from the following. Okay, the Brisa says in Sanhedrin, Ein ma'avrin es hashana lo b'shvius v'lo b'motzi shvius. We don't add on. We don't add an adar sheni in the shmita year, because then you end up adding to the shmita year. It's tough enough as is for 12 months without working the field, and actually having an extra month, 13 months. So you don't add an extra month to the shmita year, v'lo b'motzi shvius, and you don't add an extra month on the eighth year, which means the first of the next cycle. You don't make that a leap year, right? Because the problem is there is then you have, Mars mentioned soon, is that you're going to run out of the Yashan because you have another month that you can't eat the Chadash. So you want to be careful with that. The im ibruha, but if, let's say, you did do a leap year in the seventh year or the eighth year, harezem uberes. B'dieved is considered a leap year. The chodesh echad shehu mosif, lo patur mi maisrosu, and the extra month that you it's more of a question. The chodesh echad shu mosif lo patur mi maisrosu. I mean, and the extra month that you added, it clearly is patur from maisros, because in shmita everything is hefter, it's patur from maisros. So even though they added this extra month, which you're not supposed to, nevertheless the produce on that month is still patur from maisros. You see, from hefker based and hefker, right? The based and decided to add something here. Based decided to add, nevertheless, it has an impact on the maisros. The Gemara is going to ask eventually. What are you talking about? Making it a leap year is mekayem mitzvah d'oraisa, because you have to keep the seasons in order. So that the d'oraisa that the rabbanim are doing over there now to make a leap year, that's going to be doka, the whole issue of the meiser. But who says if you stam do hefker beis and hefker you walk in somebody's field that passes it for meiser? So you're going to come to a different source. So the Gemara says ad kedon shvius. I understand why you don't add an extra month in the shmita year. But mochi shvius mai. What's the reason why you don't add an extra month in the first year of the cycle? Amar Rabbi Bon shelo l'rabas b'isra chadosh. Not to add on time for isra chadosh, because you can't eat the chadosh produce until the second day of Pesach. If you add another month, you have another month that you can't eat the produce.
Who would like that every year?
What? I understand that, but usually every year you only have 12 months you have to worry about. If you add a leap year, you have 13 months to worry about.
But every time it's a leap year, it's the same problem.
But you already, but this is the eighth year of Shemitah, yeah. so you already had another a whole year beforehand that you have this produce that's waiting that you haven't had. You're going to run out. In the seventh year, you're using the sixth year produce. So now you get another year and have to wait another month. I'm going to run out of produce. Okay.
Years ago, 5 years ago,
with
Shemitah,
right.
It was a leap year.
Yeah, so now we don't worry about it anymore.
and another thing, you don't make a...
Because the Gemara's going to continue in a minute. So Rabbi Zeira, B'Shem Rabbi Elazar, Hada the At Amar, At... Right, so, but now it's not such a tircha. The Gemara says that. The Gemara doesn't bring that, B'Zmanenu, it's okay. Rabbi Zeira, you got to answer the question right now. Rabbi Zeira, B'Shem Rabbi Elazar, Hada the At Amar, this din that we just said, that you don't do Ibur Shana on the seventh year or on the eighth year, that's Ad Shelo Hitir Rebbe Levi Yerk Mechutz Laretz. In those days, you weren't allowed to bring produce from outside Eretz Yisrael because you worried about the Tumah. But when Rebbe was Matir, you to bring produce from outside Eretz Yisrael, I don't have to worry about it because I can import the food and I'm not going to have a problem. So Aval Meshi Hitir Rebbe Lehavi Yerk Mechutz Laretz, he shviyas, he shall shar shnei shvuah. So then Shemitah becomes like the rest of the years. No problem, you can do Ibur Shana even on Shemitah. What?
No. The tirch is back.
From outside.
The tirch is back. Another month they have to wait.
You just import the produce. That's what the Gemara is saying. Just import it. What's the big deal?
Uh-huh. All the farmers, even though there's stuff there in Israel.
So you can import it.
You can import it.
Uh-huh. That's what he's saying. You can import it. Rebbe's time, they were there also.
Yeah, there's another year of not working the land.
It's not another year. It's another month. Okay. Tani. Okay, we have another Tani Ema Abrin Amar Rabbi Mana Hadad At Amar. Now that we said this din that we are not Ma'abrin at the Shana Shvius, that's Dafka Barishona Shayoshanim Kisiknon. That's when that's the times of the base of Migdash. But about this is your problem, Menachem. About Aksha Shein Hashanim Kisiknon. That it's I'm not exactly sure. They teach the Ein Hashanim Kisiknon means that the base of Migdash is not Kayam. And all the land is in the hands of the Goyim, so then he shviyas, he shar shnei shavua. So Shemitah is like all of the years. But nowadays, that doesn't necessarily work because it's not true because it's owned. But you can get from other people, but you can import it.
Right, so in other words, it's a tircha only on those specific people that actually own
it. I guess so. But it's not a tircha on the cloud that they don't have to worry about it. They can get the food from elsewhere. All right. Tani, learning a brisa. So based on Rabbi Gamliel, right? Rabbi Gamliel, who lived right after the Chorban, right? Ibruha b'mochi shvius miyad. Right after Shemitah was over, they will be ma'aber the eighth year because they said you can bring the produce from Chutz La'aretz, and he didn't have a problem. Okay. Ami Rabbi Avun in min hada. So we're going back now. Which this is the question I asked before. We're going back now to the raya, the proof that hefker based in hefker patters from maestros. So if your raya is from this. That they can make the extra month, they can be mafkir, they can make this extra, they can make the extra month, even though they shouldn't, but they make the extra month, it's still pater for maestros, less at shama mina klum. You're not learning anything from there, because there, it pasuk is, shamor es chodesh aviv, shomreyu sheyaviv b'chidusho. What you're doing is, you're being mekayim in mishnah d'oraisa, of keeping the months, keeping the seasons in order, that you have Pesach in the spring. So you're doing a mishnah d'oraisa. So since Ibur Shana is b'mekayim and mitzvah the same in the Torah, so it's clear that whatever they ma'aver is pater from maestros. Because what you're doing is a mitzvah d'oraisa. But who says that the koach b'yad chachamim, when they do hefker beis and hefker, that's enough to pater the produce from maestros. So v'hayde amar, v'hayda amar da. I don't know what that means. I guess maybe it means v'hayda amar da. So where do we learn it from? In which Mishnah do we find this din that Hefker Beis and Hefker is poter from the Maestros? So the Gemara says, brings a Mishnah in Maseches Peah. So the Mishnah says as follows. Godish shelo lukot tachtov kol hanog ospa aret harei hein shel aniyim. So you have a the pile in the field, right? Basically, the guy dropped his two or three sheaves and his leket there, and instead of just leaving it there for the aniyim, he starts piling his own stuff. So the leket is on the bottom. So before the aniyim got there, he makes a pile, right? So therefore, the leket is underneath this pile. So the chachamim made a knas and they said kol hanogos ba'aret, everything on this pile that's actually touching the ground, right? Harein shel aniyim. They make the whole thing. They're above. I mean, the aniyim don't have to worry about which one they're taking. If it's touching the ground, it gets the first pile. Because once you take a bit, then it drops. The first, when they get there, whatever's touching the ground, that is considered leket. And leket, we know, is pater from Isus. So they're making all this. Hefker, based on Hefker, is creating a tour from Isus. Right? Va'amir Rabbi Ami, b'shem Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Rabbi Ami says the name of Shimon ben Lakish. That's the Beis Shammai. This is the Afka according to the din of Beis Shammai, who says that this becomes only mutter for the aniyim. So it's hefker for the aniyim and not for the shir, for the ashirim. That's still enough to be part of you from meiser. The Beis Hillel aniyim ochel u'maser. According to Beis Hillel, if it belongs to the aniyim, but they'll have to take off meisos because you can't make something hefker only for one set of group of people, not for another group of people. The ashirim cannot grab the leket, right? Only the aniyim can. Beis Shammai says once you make it, you can make it hefker for a certain, just for one group of people. That's be sufficient. But Amalei Rabbi Yossi, the Rabbi Yossi says, no, Shamanu shu patr mi maise dibre kol mishum knasa. Even Beis Hillel says that this is patr for maise mishum knasa, meaning the knasa is because you want to make sure, otherwise they're stealing from the aniyim. If you force the aniyim to take maise off of this leket stuff, so then they're losing, because some of the stuff under there is really leket. If you force to make maise after everything they take, they're going to lose a bit. So mishum knasa. So you see it's clear here that Beis Din has the koach to be mafkir items, and that hefker is strong enough to create a patur in Maestros. Okay.
Whoever takes possession of that hefker does not have to bring any Maestros.
But only can be the aniyim. The aniyim, it's only the aniyim that can grab it. The Ashirim cannot grab that. But then they would have to take Maestros. But they're also violating the problem of Ashirim taking leket.
Well, they
yeah, I guess so. You have a tuition committee. Okay. People weren't people didn't cheat in their taxes as much now. I mean, they're all W-2. If you're 1040, then it's a difference because you can have more deductions. Okay, so W-2, it's much harder. Now we're talking about, where we just said what the Shluchei Beis Din did, right? The Shluchei Beis Din were machers on Echad Adar to give a macher to Shekel. Now, what's the next step? B'chamisha Asar Bo, on the 15th of Adar, Shulchanos Hayoshim Medina. So I guess the money changers would start opening up shop in throughout Eretz Yisrael, and they would tell people to give them Asher Shekel. I guess they wouldn't force people. I guess the money changers, I'm not sure what the money changers were sent from Beis Din, but basically if you didn't have the right coinage, they would be there. You start coming and delivering your coins. The Esrim V'chamisha, on the 25th of Adar, Yashu B'Migdash, the Chafanim, the changers would sit actually in Yerushalayim to show everybody that the time is getting close. And Misha Yashu B'Migdash, and at that time, from the 20th day of Adar, Hiskilu L'Mashkein. The Gabe Basin would go and, I guess, grab collateral from people who haven't made their payment to force them to make the payment. Why the 25th? Some say the 25th is because this is the day they started checking the... you need 4 days to check the animals that are going to be brought as the Korban Tamid. So this is 4 days beforehand. They started checking the animals. And they can't buy it now because you only can buy it starting in Aleph Nisan. I guess they would start checking the animals at this time. So as me mashkinin. So who would they force, right? They would grab collateral from if they did not give them Master Shekel. They would grab collateral from the Levium, right? From the Yisraelim, from the Gerim, and from the Avadim Mishukhrarim. Those are the people who are obligated. Avalo nashim, they wouldn't force from women. Women aren't obligated. V'avadim, or some slaves. Uketanim, and ketanim. Now, ketanim here seems to be those who are under 20 years old. Ketanim means under 20. Because here, the din of a gadol is kol avera v'kudim, yiben esrim shana v'mala, yitein trumas Hashem. So if it's under 20. But here also, now you can go talk a little bit about it, here also is the source. There's a Rebbe Kiva Ego that says that even though women are mukhoyavos in tefillah, they are putter from davening musaf. Why? Because they don't take their shkala from them, right? That women are p'tur from musaf because this tefillah is the zecher karbanos, and these karbanos were brought from the korban sivor, and these karbanos sivor were brought from the maksa shekel that was brought, and the women are paturos. The isha wouldn't have to give; let's just have a portion in the chalik of the korban sivor. But he says the nagu nashim was paralel, and therefore once they made the mint, they were noeg that they have to keep it. So even though Bezman said, I don't know how many women actually come to daven, but maybe that's still with kids, but they're putter from it. Rabbi Kibayis also brings the dip from the tzlach that musaf may be a mitzvah seishas mangrama, and therefore they may be putter also. But they all ask me, if that's the case, that means Kohanim, according to what we can see in a minute, that Kohanim didn't bring the master shekel, Kohanim also putter from, that means also you shouldn't have a person who's under the age of 20 be the shliach tzibur, because he would then be potter because under the age of 20 also, so you can't have a bar mitzvah boy davening musaf. All these questions are brought up, so it could be right that you just have to separate the two. They may not have the chiyah for tefillas musaf is not necessarily dependent on bringing the matzah to shekel, but the Rabbi Kiv Eger is just going straight on the if you say that the haba hatalia, then you're right in the chanami that the woman and the young boy and maybe the kohen would be potter from tefillas musaf. Okay. The Mishnah continues, right? The chol katan shehiskel aviv lishkol al yado. If you know the father started one time bringing master shekel for his younger son, even though it doesn't have to, shuv eino posik. Tanis chacham is that once he started, he was like a neder and he has to continue doing it. My question is though, is if he doesn't, are you grab collateral from him? I don't know. And then it says, "Ein mimashkin atzak kohanim." We don't grab from the kohanim, mipnei darchei shalom, because of the ways of peace. Okay, so now basically from the Tanakhama, it seems to be that the kohanim are obligated to master shekel, but for whatever reason, we don't grab collateral from them. But Amar Rabbi Yehuda says, "No, Heyid ben Bukhri. Ben Bukhri gave testimony biYavne in the city of Yavne that kol kohen sheshokel, any kohen that actually gives the master shekel." Ain't no chote. He's not in violation. Meaning he doesn't have to, but if he brings it, it's okay. We take it. Meaning that the Kohanim are not obligated in bringing the master to shekel. But Amar lo Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai argues. He says, no, lo, you're wrong. It's the other way around. Lo, he ela kol kohen she ain't no shokel chote. Any kohen who does not bring the master to shekel is chote. Because the machlokes, whether or not Kohanim are obligated in bringing the master to shekel. Why? Because the Kohanim made the following drasha, right? Ela shel kohanim dorshim mikra zela atzman. They would, I guess, misinterpret the following pasuk, and they would say as follows. The pasuk says, you have to remember, every mincha gets the kohen is taken off, gets eaten. A mincha of a kohen is completely burnt. No kohen, it's completely burnt on the mizbeach. So they learned the drasha as follows. The pasuk says, v'chol minchas kohen kalil tiyeh lo seachel. Every minchas kohen has to be completely burnt on the mizbeach. And now, Hoil the Omer Ushtei Lechem the Lechem upon him Shalonu Haim the Omer the Ushtei Lechem the Lechem upon him, those are all basically brought from the Tzibur funds, and yet the Kohen eats them, but they're eaten. So Heyach Neachalim, if we contribute to the funds, then therefore these Korban Minchas essentially belong to a Kohen. So how can we eat them? They should be completely burnt. The answer is basically you it's not it's it's almost like a, it's a, it, the Tzibur has a corporate status. Not that it's your partnership and you own this piece and you own this piece and therefore it's partly owned by a Kohen. What happens is that everything comes together and you have a corporate status of the Tzibur. So it's not part, it doesn't belong to the Kohen, it belongs to the Tzibur. You're part of the Tzibur, but it's not yours individually. You don't have a piece of it. Okay? So therefore, they would say that they didn't have to, they wouldn't bring it. And Yochanan Zakkai argues. So now, Ein Mashkon Es HaKetanim. We don't take Mashkon from the Ketanim. So the Gemara says, but it just says Ein Mashkon Es HaKetanim. We don't take collateral from those under 20. Ha Litvoa Tovin, but it seems to be that you should still make a claim against them, that they should still pay it. So Hadad Tamar, so this that we say, that the Ketanim are Chayiv, and to bring the master to shekel, that is daka b'shehevi shtei saros. I guess he has to be 13 years old, and he brought shtei saros. Aval im lo hevi shtei saros, if he did not bring shtei saros, lo bada, right? We don't ask him to bring ula mashkin, and to force him a mashkin apol p'shehevi saros. And that we only force only when he gets the toy. Okay. So Kaini, now the Mishnah said, right? We don't take from the kohanim because of darkei shalom. So what's the darkei shalom? So Kaini masnisa. This is how you have to interpret it. Aim and mashkin, so kohanim, they derech kavod, because of kavod. not the Acher Shalom, because the Derech Kavod, I guess since they do the Avoda, and they're doing all the work on that, so we give them Kavod, and we're so mich on them that they're going to give it without forcing them to, by grabbing collateral. Okay, now here comes a part I have difficulty with. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda, right, Rabbi Yehuda said that Ben Buchri says that the Kohanim are not obligated to bring Master Shekel. Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai says the Kohanim are obligated to bring the Master Shekel. So Amar Rabbi Rechia, time of the Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai's reasoning is as follows. He learns it out from a Gematria. It says, Zeh Yitnu, Kol, right, it's Zeh Yitnu, Kol over al Kudim, right? So Zeh, what is Zeh? Zeh is Zion and Hay. 7 plus 5 is 12. Shnei Masar Shvatim Yitnu. That means all Shvatim have to give, including Shevet Levi, which includes the Kohanim. He learns it out from Zeh. Zeh equals 12. Okay? Get also, right? Get is also 12. It's supposed to be 12 lines. Learn it out from the number. Okay. Right, so he says even Kohanim are included from Zeh. Okay. So now the Gemara is going to bring a conversation between the two shitas about whether or not the Kohanim are obligated. We're going to start this quickly. Rav Tavi b'shem Rav Hamnuna, Kain meishim l'chacham and Rav Yehuda. This is how the Chacham answer Rav Yehuda. Chatas yachin mesa v'chatas tibur mesa. Chatas yachin mesa, but ain chatas tibur mesa. Okay, the chatas, if there's an issue with the chatas, chamish mesa supplies by chatas yachin, doesn't apply to the chatas tibur. And minchas hayachid krev kalil, the mincha of a yachid is completely burnt. The ein milchas atzibor, but the milchas atzibor is not completely burnt. Now, if you say that the kohen doesn't have to give, and then he does give, I think that's what it means. And he doesn't have to give, but he does give. Then how can these be completely? How can these be eaten if part of it belongs to the kohen? If the kohen is obligated, then he's part of the corporate status. If he's not obligated and he's bringing them his own, then he has an individual ownership in there. How can it be eaten? Right? So the Kasha, they asked, Meshivin la'adam davash ain't a modebo? How can you ask Rabbi Yehuda this question? The Tanan, Rabbi Masech Minyoma, she'ain chatasibur mesa, Rabbi Yehuda omer tamas. Rabbi Yehuda does say that the chatasibur is mesa. So how are you asking Rabbi Yehuda? He doesn't even hold that. So who mosivla? So they answered as follows. Rabbi Yehuda would answer, Zolo nidvas yachid hi. The minchas kohen is not a mincha of a yachid. The inun misivon le. Wait, go minchas yachid. Zolo nidvas yachid. You know, when they give over, when they voluntarily will give over these maxes shekel, they're not obligated in, it's not just a stam, it's not a stam nedava, it's not like a nedas yachid, as if they gave it over wholeheartedly, completely, and therefore they lose their ownership. The inun masvinon lay, and the chachamim answered back, kevon shenimser letzibor, kemishu nitzvat tzibor. No, once you give it over to the tzibor, it's as if it belongs to the tzibor, and therefore, unless they're fully obligated in it, then they would be have an ownership in that mincha, and therefore they wouldn't be able to eat it. It would have to be completely burnt. Okay, see the pasuk says, "Kol over al pekudim." Right, me right. Kol over al pekudim. Ben Simchon of Amayla. So Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemya, Chad Amar, Kol the Avar biyama. What does Kol mean? Means anyone who went through the Yamsuf Yitain, they have to give. And Charna Amar, Kol the Avar al pekuda Dayal Yitain. Whoever was in the counting has to give the Master Shekel. So Manda Amar Kol the Avar biyama. That includes the Kohanim and Leviyim. So that's a riot to Rabbi Yochanan. Misayil Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. Yomai Damer called the Avar Al Piku Daya Yitain. Whoever says that, whoever's counted, that excludes the Kohanim and Leviim. That's Misayil Ben Bukhri, who says the Kohanim are not chayav in. But I don't know about the Leviim. He says the Kohanim are not chayav in the Maaser Shekel. Okay, stop here. Have a good day.